Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Appreciate those testimonies. Appreciate that good preaching we've already heard. Amen. This morning and last night, Brother Gray and Brother Bryant. Amen. I appreciate it. Amen. It's helped me. And I thank the Lord for it. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to preach here this morning. Amen. And I always don't take it lightly when the Lord gives us an opportunity to preach. Amen. I've got a thought on my heart here this morning from Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And if you would keep your Bibles open, we'll might turn to another place or two here. We'll read a few verses. Kind of skip around a little bit here for the sake of time. Numbers chapter 13. And we heard, was there at the old Kentucky camp meeting earlier this week. Papa and Granny was there as well. Heard several good messages. But yesterday morning heard preacher, Brother Andy Lockhart. A lot of y'all probably know him. He's a good preacher. And he's preaching. He's talking about some preacher. He said, I get accused of this sometimes, of preaching a message and laying enough foundation for a skyscraper and then putting a single wide on it. Yeah. Amen. And so we'll try not to do that. Amen. But try to give you a little bit of background here. But it's probably familiar scripture to you if you're a Bible student. Amen. And Numbers chapter number 13, verse number 1. Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And he goes on and gives their names. But I notice here in verse number 1, he said, the Lord spake unto Moses, said, send men. Verse number 3, and Moses by the commandment of the Lord sent them from the wilderness. Hold your place here in Numbers 13, we're coming right back. But in Deuteronomy chapter 1, there's a little bit of a difference in the way that it says it. And we understand that there's no contradictions in the Bible. Amen? So when we get to a place like this, we have to dig a little deeper and find out what it is saying to us. But I believe we can see this here in Deuteronomy chapter 1. We can see it in 1 Samuel. We see it in some different places where that it was, I don't believe it was God's plan for them to send spies into Canaan land originally. I believe that they requested that. And they prayed for it, and God said, I'll give you what you asked for, even though it's not what's best for you. And here in Deuteronomy chapter number 1, Bible says, verse number 6, the Lord our God, this is 40 years later after they sent the spies into the wilderness. Sent the spies into Canaan land. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief. All those 20 years and under died, except for Joshua and Caleb. You know the story. Now they're getting ready to go back into the promised land, and Moses is going to give them the repetition of the law here in Deuteronomy. And Moses is also going to repeat for them a lot of their history and tell them about where they have been, what they have done, what God has done for them. Amen. And that's important for us to remember what the Lord has done. Amen. And here in verse number 6, the Bible says, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go into the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, and in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, and to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in, look around, and see if you want to go take the land. No, that's not what he said. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And then going down to verse number 21, he says, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Verse number 22 reveals to us what happened. Moses said, and ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And he goes on down and tells about what they did. They turned and went up into the mountain and came and searched out the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Now, let's go back into Numbers chapter 13. But we see there that God said, I told you to go in, and you said, let's send men in and see whether we should do what God said or not. Right. How many times we read the Bible and we try to, we see what God says for us to do, we understand what God's will is for us, but then we try to figure out, Lord, I want you to show me whether you really want me to do what you want me to do. Right? And we are able to sometimes get something from the Lord that it wasn't the Lord's will for us to have, right? And so we understand that. Here in chapter 13 of the book of Numbers, let's look down in verse number 16. The Bible says, these are the names of the men which Moses sent out to spy out the land. And Moses called Joshua, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage. Notice this, what Moses said. This jumped out at me. Moses told these 12 spies, he said, go in and look at all of this, see what it's like. I don't believe Moses' plan was for them to go in to see whether they want to go in or not. His plan was to go in and see how they should go in, what they should do, have an idea of what lay in front of them. And we understand Jesus said, what man... doth build a tower without first counting the cost, right? And it's wise to count the cost. But that was not what the children of Israel had in mind by going in. And I don't believe that they needed to count the cost at this point because God had given clear instructions just to do it.
Right.
Amen. And sometimes God's... I appreciate what... I believe it was Brother Bryant said last night, God is not trying to hide His will from us. Amen. He wants to reveal His will to us. And sometimes the will of God is not perfectly clear, all the details of what He wants us to do. And we need just, sometimes we do need to pray about it and get clarity about the will of God. But sometimes God's will is just perfectly clear, and we don't need to pray about it. We don't need to think about it. We don't need to consider it. We just need to do it. Amen. But Sammy Allen, I believe it was, said that God will never reveal His will to us to consider. Well, maybe Daddy, I know Daddy said that. I don't know if he got it from Brother Sammy or who, but... Brother Larry Wells. God will never reveal His will for you to consider it. He'll only reveal His will to us if we're willing to do it.
Right.
Amen. I believe that. And so here, these children of Israel, Moses said, go in and count the cost, if you will. Go in and find out where we need to go, what we need to do to fulfill the will of God. But notice what he said in verse 20. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. Amen. So we'll end off our reading for now there. You pray for us, Lord, to help us. I want to preach from that thought, just a simple thought, a bringing back of the fruit of Canaan land. Amen. We need to bring back some fruit of the promised land. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You again for this day. Lord, thank You for Your many blessings upon us. Thank You, Lord, for the preaching that we've already heard. Lord, the good singing, the good fellowship that we've already experienced, and the presence of God here in the services. Lord, I pray that You would use us this morning. Lord, I pray that You would help us to encourage Your people, Lord, to serve You, and Lord, to serve You in a way that we could bring back some fruit to some others, Lord, who are not in the promised land yet, Lord, but Lord, we can be an encouragement to them to follow Your will and to do what You would have for them to do in their life. Lord, and have courage in the Word of God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You for standing. You can be seated. In Deuteronomy 1, we find Moses repeating this back, and Moses tells them they need to go in to see the land. God promised them the land. God promised that He would fight for them.
Yep.
And yet they refused to believe God. God said the reason that they didn't go in was because of unbelief. How often in our life do we see what God says, and yet we don't believe? I don't believe it's always wrong, like Gideon did, to have a fleece and to try to find the God's will, as long as it's not in because of a lack of faith.
Right.
I don't really believe Gideon was a lack of faith. He just wanted to make sure this was God telling him, not just
right.
him thinking this would be a good idea. Amen? But we don't always need a fleece. Amen? If we know what God's will is, we just need to do it. Amen? And a lot of times, we know in 1 Samuel, God commanded Samuel to go down and anoint Saul to be king.
Yep.
And God had already said over and over, it's not God's will for them to have a king.
Yep.
God told Samuel, said, they haven't rejected you, Samuel, they've rejected me. So what I'm saying is sometimes we can pray our way out of God's will.
Yep.
Amen. And I know God's sovereign, God's in control and all that, but God allows us to follow our own will, and sometimes we'll get in trouble.
Right.
Amen. And God will allow things to happen that He never intended, if I can say it that way,
right.
Use human concept. God never intended for it to happen that way. But we, because of our lack of faith, do that. And that's where these people were. I don't believe that's where Moses was. I believe Moses... I was just thinking about this, what Moses told them to do. Go in there and check out all of this. Find out what is there. And I believe Moses said, you came to me and told me to do this.
Yep.
And he said, it pleased me well.
Yep.
And so Moses went to God and asked God, and God commanded for Moses to do it.
Yep.
Okay? So Moses was persuaded by the people to do something that they should not have done. Amen. But you say, well, was it wrong for them to go in and see how to possess the land? Well, God had delivered them from Egypt. Right? We understand the typology of all of this. Egypt is a type of bondage, a type of sin, type of the world. Amen. God delivered them miraculously, not because of who they were, not because of anything they had done, but God chose to deliver them from Egypt because of His name. Amen.
Right.
And God, with a mighty hand, with a strong hand, brought them out of through the Red Sea and through the wilderness. And God brought them out. And that, of course, that's a type of salvation, bringing them out of the wilderness.
Yep.
I mean, out of Egypt into the wilderness. And there is a time of growth there in the wilderness.
Cool.
As soon as they come out of Egypt, God gives them, God reveals to them His will to them, His word to them, His law. Amen. And we understand that the law is for the sinner, but there is the sinner doesn't care about God's law.
Right.
I don't know how often God reveals His law to the sinner, but as soon as God delivered them from Egypt, God said, "This is what I expect of you.
Right.
Now that you're mine, I expect you to follow this." And the children of Israel said, "We will do all that Thou hast commanded us."
Yes, sir.
And Exodus 20:21, right in there, several times He said, "We'll do it all." And And so then, as soon as God's finished giving them the law, then God calls Moses back up to Mount Sinai and starts giving them plans for the tabernacle, a place where they could worship God. And immediately after they promised to do all the law, and immediately after they received the law, first thing they did is broke the first law.
Right.
While God is preparing a way, but here's the thing that blessed me, is that God orchestrated, God planned, God prepared. God told Moses, this is the plan for the tabernacle, a place where you can come to get repentance and forgiveness for breaking God's law. God started that process before they started building the calf.
Right.
They sinned the first chance they got, but before they sinned, God made a way for them to get forgiveness for their sin. Amen. And the very first opportunity in the garden, man sinned, but before man sinned, God in His sovereignty, amen, God slew the lamb before the foundation of the world. In his mind, amen, in his plan, God had a way of escape for man. Amen. Thank the Lord. And so God gave them that tabernacle for them to worship God, for them to commune with God, and for them to get forgiveness for their sin there according to God's law. And then God told them, all right, it's time to move. And they went to the promised land. And they got to the promised land just a couple years after leaving Egypt. And then they refused to go into the promised land. Now here's what I'm saying. From the time they left Egypt, they were still in Egypt when they received a cloud by day and a fire by night to guide them. Every time they're supposed to move, the cloud would get up and move. And they were to follow that. For over 2 years now, they have grown accustomed in the wilderness, grown accustomed to just following the cloud and the fire. Everywhere they don't have to figure out how to get. They didn't find their way through the wilderness. God delivered them through the wilderness. They didn't find their way out of Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt. Amen. Now they're going into the promised land, and they said, we need to figure out how we need to go. God didn't say he's going to take away the cloud. God didn't tell them how we need to do something. We need to come up with a different way. But now all of a sudden, I don't believe it was right for them to go against what God had already revealed to them about his leadership in their life. Amen. God has given us his word. We don't need to look for something different. Amen. We need to just follow him. Amen. And so we understand that a lot of people have the idea that the promised land represents heaven, but we understand that that's not a good comparison. It's not a good type. Amen. It is a spirit-filled life. Amen. It's a victorious Christian life. There's still battles to fight in the promised land. There's still giants in the promised land. Amen. But they're not wandering around in the wilderness. They're stable. Amen. They have a home. They have a land. They have a temple there later on. They have God's purpose in their life, and they can serve the Lord to the greatest extent there in the promised land. God said it's a land flowing with milk and honey. I don't think that was a literal statement. I think it was a statement showing how much God had blessed that land. And some of y'all have probably been there in your lifetime, but you know that is a desert area there in the Middle East, and yet Israel is blossoming like a rose, amen? And it was back then as well. God gave them all of this. And listen, God not only blessed Israel, but these cities were great cities. These vineyards were great vineyards. All of this without God's people there. Yep. The Canaanites, the cursed people, were living there, but they were blessed because of the land that they were living in.
Right.
Not for their sake, but for God's people's sake, they were blessed. Amen? Yep. I'm convinced there's a lot of people in America that are blessed because of God's hand on America in the past.
Right.
And it's not because of us.
Right.
Amen. A lot of times we're blessed because of someone else. Amen. But God told them, God promised them the land. God told them to go in and take the land. God gave them the power to do that. And he reminded them there in Deuteronomy 1 how that he had already provided for their needs. Amen. And yet they did not obey. Amen. Paul mentioned about the board of deacons. Vance Havner said that a committee, he's talking about a committee. He said a committee is a group of the unfit doing the unnecessary for the unwilling. Amen. That's pretty good. That's what they wanted. They wanted a committee to decide whether we're going to go in there or not.
Yeah.
We want to take up a vote. Now, we know what God said. Now, let's vote on it.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
Great.
Amen. So God had already told him in Deuteronomy 8, verse number 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. He's talking about the plentifulness and the blessing of the land. Amen. And
Amen.
If If we'll be honest, those of you who are born again today, you've experienced some of the promised land. Amen. Maybe you've lived for the Lord, just sold out and lived for the Lord. You know of the blessings of God that come from being Spirit-filled. Amen. Being Spirit-led in your life. And yet, how often do we consider whether we really want to obey the Holy Ghost in our life? Yeah. Obey the Word of God in our life. We want to come up with something to figure out whether it would be a good idea or not to follow the Lord. Amen. Faith is not, as somebody said, faith is not a leap in the dark.
Nope.
Faith is obedience to what we already know that God has said. Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's true faith.
Right.
And so Moses tells, I believe Moses knew the heart of the people. He knew, I don't know what if he really thought they're not going to go, they're not wanting to go, or if he just thought maybe they need a little bit more proof. I don't know. You know, they said when Jesus was on the cross, they said, if you'll perform a miracle, one more miracle, if you'll come off the cross, then we'll believe.
Right.
And they won't ever believe for another miracle. A lot of times as Christians.
Yep.
Lord, if you just provide this over here, then I could trust you.
Come on.
Well, we'll never trust him if he did one more thing for us, if we don't trust him for what he's already done.
Right.
Amen. And so we need to live the victorious Christian life. Moses is telling them, you need to go in, and they say, we need to vote on this. We need to think about this. We need to investigate this a little bit more. And Moses may have thought, well, they'll still go. When they get back and hear all of this good news from the land of Canaan, they're going to want to go. Maybe he thought that. I don't know. I think he knew them pretty well. Probably knew they wasn't going to go. But Moses looks to me like he not only told them to go and see and hear and experience the land of Canaan, but he said, we've got millions of people over here that don't have the same opportunities you have to be in the land of Canaan right now. They need to get a taste of what it's like to be in the land of Canaan. Because I want you to bring back something that they can sink their teeth into, that they can experience for themselves, not what they have done, but something that you have brought out for them to see in your life, the Spirit-filled life.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, help us to bring back some fruit. How many times do we just live our life and we wonder why our children or why our parents or why our siblings or why our friends or our co-workers don't want what we have? I wonder if sometimes it might be because we're not bringing back any fruit.
Yep.
They're not seeing any fruit. They don't see any difference in us. They don't see anything. Lord, help us.
Yep.
Amen. God told them to do all these things. Examine the wood, examine the forest, examine the fields, but bring back some fruit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, help us to bring back some fruit. Amen. I think about in my life, right now I'm experiencing I've experienced all my life some fruit from other people that have served the Lord. Amen. I grew up there in North Carolina listening to some of the greatest preaching.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's ever been preached, I believe.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of the greatest preachers. They wasn't known by a lot of people, but they were sincere in preaching the Word of God. Amen. And I thank the Lord for it.
Yes, sir.
Of course, I grew up under my dad's ministry. My dad preached. He was pastoring just a little over a year before that I was born. Amen. And so I thank the Lord for that. Being grown up in a Christian home and saw, my dad made this statement about he's in a similar situation with Papa and Granny. Papa was pastoring when he was a young man.
Yes,
not as young as I was, but he was pretty young. And, Daddy made a mention, I can say the same thing, I think. We experienced a whole lot, growing up in a pastor's home, you experienced a whole lot of people that claim a lot of things that are not real.
Right.
I know a lot of preachers that don't really have a lot of confidence that it's real.
Right.
Amen. And I'm not saying it to be mean, I'm just saying they may be real, they don't have to prove to me that they're real, but I haven't seen the fruit that they're real.
Right.
Amen. And we see people playing church, see people doing a lot of things, and if we're not careful, we'll think everybody's a fake.
Yeah.
But Daddy said he saw faithfulness in Granny and Papa, knew that they were real.
Yes. Right.
And that, amen. I can say that as well. Amen. Seen some real Christians. You know, how do you know that? Because you see some fruit in their life. Amen. That we can not only see, but we can taste. Amen. We can get a hold of and know there's something real about that. Amen. And so, Lord, help us to bring back some fruit. I think about these men. We know there's 12 men in Exodus 13, and I don't know very much about any of them except for Joshua and Caleb. There's Caleb. If you look up the word Caleb, Caleb just means a dog. Yeah. Literally, it means to yelp or to attack. I think about Brother Gray. I think about Caleb later on. He just says, "Give me that mountain." Amen. Hey, I want that mountain. Amen. He's an attack dog. Amen. He's going to get what he can get. Amen. But he's just a dog. Amen. And if we be honest, why did Caleb get picked? I don't know.
Yep.
Moses picked him.
To
go in. And why have we been given the opportunity? We haven't done anything to deserve to live in the grace and the blessing of God. Amen. In our life. And yet we get to go into the land of Canaan. Amen. And experience the fruit and bring back some fruit for somebody that hasn't went yet. Amen. And Caleb gets to go, but he didn't go alone. Amen. We understand there's two that brought back a good report. I believe that's Joshua and Caleb. They God allowed them to live and go into the promised land later. Amen. And Joshua, of course, Moses here calls him Joshua, which is the same pretty much name, Hosea, the same idea. But Joshua means, it means save us or salvation. But it is a plea for salvation.
Yeah.
Oh, save us. That's what they called when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. They said, "Hosanna." Oh, save us. Now, they was calling for salvation from the Romans, not for their sin.
Right.
But they were pleading for salvation.
Right.
And in verse number 16, Moses called Joshua, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. He changed his name, added something to it that... Jehoshua means, it's two words, it's Joshua and Jehovah together. And it means, it's not a plea for salvation, but it is a promise of salvation. Amen. And Jehovah saves. Amen. Thank the Lord. And so Caleb went into the promised land, and I was thinking about this. They went in, and you remember, they went into the promised land later on in the chapter. I won't take the time to read it. They went in, you know the story, and they got their eskel, they got the grapes. Bible says they bore them of two. They bore them between them. Why did they do that? Well, because they were so great.
Right.
It was a burden.
Yeah.
Amen. Did you know the blessing of the Lord can be a burden to carry?
That's right.
Amen. It wasn't easy for them to get the fruit back. They had to carry it. They had to be under the load. I mean, Lord, help us have a burden.
Yes.
To live a life so that somebody can see the fruit in our life. And Caleb's over there in the promised land. He sees these grapes. And he says, "We need to take some of those back." Moses said to bring some fruit back.
Yeah.
Maybe they got a pomegranate. I don't know, they stuck it in their pocket. I don't know what they did. But they took some fruit. I don't know if the others brought fruit back.
Yeah.
Amen. They were too interested in the giants.
Yeah.
Their report, it sounded like everybody they saw was a giant.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't believe they all were.
No.
I believe there's few giants there.
Yeah.
But that's what got their attention. If we're not careful, the problems is all that we'll focus on.
Amen.
Amen. We won't see the blessings of God. The blessings that are going to take some effort to harvest out, amen, and to bring to somebody else in our life. Caleb sees Caleb seeing these fruit, but there's no way he can get them out by himself. Amen. The song says, "I have somebody with me," amen, "who carry the heavy load. I feel his presence near me every day," amen. We have somebody with us. We have a Joshua with us, amen, to help us carry it. You say, I can't be what I need to be. I can't be the father that I need to be. I can't be the husband. I can't be the wife. I can't be the mother. Maybe the pastor or the preacher or the church member that I need to be. I'm thankful you got somebody with you.
Amen.
I can trust Him, amen,
yeah,
to help me to carry the load out to the wilderness.
Yeah.
Amen. Where the people are. Amen. Lord, help us to bring this back. Amen. We can bring fruit back to the promise. And I have three things here. Three reasons why we need to bring, or three people to bring fruit back for. These 12 spies went in, and there's a whole multitude of people that haven't ever experienced what they're experiencing.
Yeah.
A whole multitude of people. I think about Joshua and Caleb and about their family. They got some children, maybe. They have some parents, maybe. They have some cousins, some family members.
Right.
That have never experienced what we're over here shouting the victory, and they don't know about it.
Yeah.
And we need to go back and bring it back. Amen.
Yeah.
I think about, I'm thankful for our family. Amen. We got a family that many of them are serving the Lord, but we got some that are not.
Sure.
Amen. I want them to see something in my life.
Amen.
Amen. To see that they need, it is worth it to go into the promised land. Amen.
Amen.
It is worth it to fight the giants.
Yes.
It's worth it to bear the burden. Amen. To taste the fruit of the promised land. Amen. Amen. Think about the family. We have family. I think about there's some faithful men. There's a Bezalel over there that worked hard to build a tabernacle. He didn't get to go into the promised land. He's been faithful. He served the Lord faithfully, but now he is discouraged. I don't know how many, I know 10 of the tribes, 10 of the spies said, let's not go in. We cannot. How can you say God cannot?
Right.
But they said, we cannot take it. We cannot do it. 10 of them, I don't know if 2 out of 12 of the multitude said, let's go in. Maybe they did. I don't know if that's a representation of the whole group.
Right.
It could have been. I don't know if they took a majority vote. I don't know what happened. It could have been that there was 49% that wanted to go in. I don't see that.
Right.
But it's possible. Right? I don't know that only Joshua and Caleb were wanting to go in.
Yeah.
I don't know that. There may have been some faithful men that wanted to go in, but they were persuaded by the others.
Right.
Or they were hindered by the others.
Yep.
There's some men that really wanted, some men and ladies that really want to serve the Lord, really want to do right. They've been faithful for many years, but for whatever reason, they're not where they used to be.
Yep.
They're not. They need a taste of the promised land.
Amen.
They need to see what is available for them. Amen?
Amen.
There's some faithful, and then there's some fainting. There's a whole lot of them. They didn't have any desire to go into promised land. And they never will.
Yep.
If they don't experience something.
Yep.
Moses said, I want you to bring back some fruit. Just in case anybody is not wanting to go in. In case anybody's having any doubts, bring back some fruit. I don't know how much they brought back. But I don't believe they just brought back one cluster of grapes.
No.
Amen. I believe they brought back some fruit of the promised land. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes the burden gets heavy. But I'm thankful these men carrying that fruit. One of them might reach back into the past and remember what God's done in the past.
Amen.
And it gives them a little bit of juice, amen, a little bit of encouragement to keep on going.
Amen.
The other might reach forward into the promises of the future. God promised to give us this good land, amen. And we need to believe Him for it.
Amen.
I think about those children of Israel decided we don't want to go in. I wonder what Joshua and Caleb thought about that. Wonder what they experienced. I don't know. I don't think they threw away the fruit. Amen. I wonder how long they might have kept some of that fruit and ate it just as long as it lasts. Because they knew one day we're going to get to go back in there.
Amen.
We want to hang on to some of that.
Yep.
Amen. To get back into, maybe you're not in the promised land today because of problems in your life, things that have kept you from doing what God would have for you to do, or things that have hindered you. But maybe there's some fruit that you can chew on a little bit to remind you that I need to get back where I need to be in the service of the Lord. Amen. Joshua and Caleb there, I don't know how many people was in the promised land. I read how many people was in the wilderness there. I believe it's millions. I don't know how many. A couple million, two or three. I don't know how many million. But somebody figured it up and said that 40 years, all of them died except for those under 20. And we know from numbers you can count all except for the Levites what there was there of the men, and then plus women and children. So of the men only, and then you double that if you say there's men represent about half, so you double that. They said there would be 700, if all of those people from the age of 20 and older died in the wilderness in 40 years, they would average 700 funerals a day for 40 years. Could you imagine? Could you imagine having been in the promised land, knowing what we gave up, and then coming out not for 40 months, but for 40 years, wandering around in the wilderness, and having all this discouragement? It don't seem like anybody's doing right. Don't seem like anybody wants to go do what God said to do. Don't seem like anybody has any faith in God. And Joshua and Caleb, they're remembering that fruit. Amen. I will think about maybe they went around to a campfire 40 years later, 39 years later, went up some young person. He may be 60 years old now, but he was under 20 when they left, when they rejected. And they don't remember all about how they got out of Egypt. They don't remember all about what God's done. They're young, right?
Right.
And they have never experienced the promised land, but Joshua and Caleb maybe gather around the camp and start telling them about the fruit of the land of Canaan. Just hang on. We're not going to be in the wilderness much longer. Amen. We're going to make it to the promised land. Lord, help us to bring back some fruit that others can see in our life. Amen. Of the promised land. Amen.